All right. Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Special Finance Committee. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the current outgoing interim chair. Today is March 13th, and we are meeting at 5:30 p.m.
You've dropped out, Tracy. We can't hear you.
5:43 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The secretary for this committee is R. Paul Martin from WBAI in New York, the interim secretary. So, R. Paul, if you could go ahead and call the roll, and then we'll get started with the meeting.
Okay. Ken Aaron. Here. Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Prozier is not here, I know. Marcus Jenner.
Here.
Campbell Johnson?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin? Here. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Alex Steinberg?
Here.
Bobby Lipperman?
Here.
LeVar Williams?
Present.
Okay, that's 10. We got a quorum.
And Arlene
okay.
is here.
Okay, R. Paul, if you could note that for the minutes. I also want to note that PNB rep from Texas, Bill Crozier, requested and received an excused absence from this meeting this evening for personal reasons. Okay, and I know that we don't formally enforce that, but if you could make a note in the minutes to that effect, I'd appreciate it. Okay, so we have a draft agenda that was emailed out at 2:47 Pacific, 5:47 Eastern, with 9 items on it. I'm pretty clear that one or two of those items are going to change, but if we could go ahead and take a look at it, I will read it out loud for the stream if anyone doesn't have it in front of them, and then we will entertain either modifications or a move to approve as is. Item 1, roll call. Item 2, approve this draft agenda. Item 3, approve the minutes from the last meeting public, which I do not believe we're going to be able to do because I don't think we have them. Number 4, election of chair and secretary, which we might be able to do over the phone. If not, we will make arrangements for an email process. Number 5 is a brief update on the status of our audit. Number 6 is a quick check-in about our budget timeline, which will be starting before we know it. The 7th item is the first quarter divisional reports that are ready. We had scheduled WBAI, WPFW, and the archives. Number 8 is just a follow-up from the last item about meeting about closed session confidentiality and whether we have any recommendation or protocol. We agreed that we would think about it for 2 weeks and come back to that item. So that's what item 8 is, and item 9 is adjourn. So I will entertain modifications to this draft agenda or a motion to approve, whatever comes.
Number 3, the minutes from the last meeting, they are unfortunately not ready yet. So
okay.
I should drop number 3.
Excise that item. Any other modifications?
I have the WBAI report is not going to be ready because I've not been able to get with the general manager about this. And
so
the
you
committee
need to
tried to meet and didn't make quorum, and so we don't have it yet.
This is Ken. Hello. Anybody there? Am I by myself?
Sounds like Tracy.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, Tracy, come on back.
Sounds like
Tracy.
She dropped off. What do you got to say? What's going on?
Tracy's hallucinating that she's in a finance call. Oh, we're on the stream. So, there, Tracy.
Hi. I'm sorry. My phone slipped out.
I wanted to make
an
adjustment. This is Ken.
Okay. Just a second, Ken. Let me just go back. So, R. Paul, are you asking us to postpone WBAI 2 weeks forward?
Yeah, we got to do that, I think.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay, Ken, what's your modification?
Just that we could add to the agenda discussion of certain issues that were coming up in emails. I'd like to just get an answer for the definition of when a period is closed, when a financial period is closed, what that means.
Okay. I think we can do that. I think it would be good to enumerate for the agenda what the issues are. I'm a little uncomfortable with, you know,
right,
miscellaneous email issues. So the first is what makes a period closed or what is the timeline for a close? Correct?
What is the consequence of a close? Like if you say something is closed, what does that involve? And then
okay,
the
so that's why.
Okay, the email issues, I was, it's not my emails. It was coming from WPFW.
Oh, the WPFW issue, as I understand it, has been resolved. We can do a check-in on it. But my understanding is that the executive director and the WPFW treasurer have talked about it and have come to a mutually to a mutual understanding. Marcus, is it your opinion there's anything else the finance committee needs to talk about on that, or
which one are we talking about?
The issue that you brought up on email earlier in the day, or I guess yesterday.
Getting information.
Personnel information. Personnel information, of course. Yeah, that's done.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yep.
So, Ken, so I'm going to modify your modification to the question about periods being closed and what that means and what the consequences are, and just put that on as an item.
Thank you.
Can I put it at the bottom of the agenda, or do you want to place it somewhere else? Okay. Well, I'm not hearing you object, so for now it's going to be the new item.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I was talking to myself.
Okay.
I do object. I would rather it should be less than 5 minutes. I'd like to have it higher up on the agenda so that we have more of an open time when we're going over.
Okay. How about after the budget timeline and before the first quarter reports?
Excellent.
Because those are all quick items. Okay. So it'll be the third quick item.
Okay. I have a point of information.
Mm-hmm.
What other stations need to be reviewed?
The only three that remain are the ones that are on the agenda, WBAI, WPFW, the archives, which we normally at least look at briefly, and potentially the national office if we want to do that. The other stations have all been done, and we know we're kicking WBAI 2 weeks into the future. So there's not much, just Washington and archives. Okay, are there any other modifications to the agenda?
Well, I think we should be doing nationals as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can schedule that for the next meeting. Absolutely.
We can do it tonight if we have time. I'm fine.
Okay, that's an option too. Okay, so I'll put it tentatively on the agenda to replace the WBAI. And we'll do it. Are there any other modifications to the agenda? Ouch. Somebody is crinkling. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified?
So moved.
Any objections? Okay, it's approved. All right, so what that means is we are up to item 4, which is the election of the chair and secretary. Let me just explain briefly my understanding of how we do this on the phone as a committee, and if anybody else wants to weigh in with a differing view, that's fine. My understanding is that we entertain nominations on the phone, and that if no one objects, we can vote by roll call on the phone, if in fact there is more than one candidate for any position. If, however, any member of the committee feels that in a contested situation, obviously uncontested, we'll vote, you know, that's it. If it's contested, then if any member of the committee objects to doing a roll call vote on the phone, then we will go through an email balloting process. And you will all receive emails from probably the secretary, unless it is a contested position involving the secretary, in which case I would probably do it as the outgoing chair. You'll get ballots with a period of time to return them. They will go to the Pacifica National Office, to Chris Nera. She will count them, and she will announce the results. So that is my understanding of how the process would proceed. Does anyone have any comments, or shall we go to the secretary, or shall we open nominations for or volunteers, as it may be, for the secretary position? Okay, I don't hear any discussion. Yeah. What was that?
Why are we doing secretary first?
Because we're doing secretary first. Because I think it might be shorter. And also because if our current secretary is not the secretary, then the new secretary should take over ASAP. I mean, is it a huge problem to do secretary first? Okay. So nominations for secretary
are
open. The incumbent has been nominated. R. Paul, do you accept your nomination?
Yes, I do. And let me point out, my telephone is starting to crap out. So if suddenly I'm gone, that's why.
Okay. Well, the outgoing chair says thank God. But anyway, that's another issue. Are there any other nominations or volunteers for secretary? Are there any objections or okay. R. Paul, you are elected by acclamation to be the 2012 National Finance Committee Secretary. Thank you very much.
Congratulations, R. Paul. I know it's a shock and surprise.
Oh, my.
You have an extra phone available, R. Paul.
Oh, just hand it to me here across 2,000 miles.
No, but we are being recorded, so if R. Paul needs to go back and pick up the notes mm-hmm. later, that is doable. So we will not lose our meeting. All right, that brings us to the election of the chair. R. Paul, would you like to preside over this part?
Okay.
I think that's probably the right way to do it.
All right.
So I will hand the chair over to you until this process is completed. Go ahead.
Okay, let me make a note and see that I'm doing this. All right. Nominations are now open for the position of chair of the National Finance Committee. Are there any nominations?
I nominate Kim.
I decline, thank you.
Kim, K-I-M.
Right. I am Kim, and I'm declining.
Oh, I didn't recognize your voice.
Yeah. Thank you, Campbell, but I got my hands full with my local, but I nominate Tracy.
Thank you, Kim. I'll accept.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Going once, twice, three times. Okay. Hearing no other nominations, is there any objection to Tracy Rosenberg being elected chair? Hearing none, it is passed without objection. And so congratulations to you, Tracy.
Thank you, Paul.
And here's the chair back.
All right, so the metaphorical chair has come back. Thank you. I will try to do my best to carry us forward through this year and 8 more budgets. Yay. All right. So at this point, we're up to item 5 on the agenda. It is an update on the status of our audit, and the reason that I brought this up is that I think probably the members of the committee want to know where things stand. I know many of us thought that we might be done by the end of February. It looks like we're not. So, LaVonne, could you give us maybe just a minute or two of where things stand in the ETA and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, this is Laverne Williams. As far as the audit, I can tell you where we are in terms of the documents that are now being requested by the auditor, by the independent auditor. And at this point in time, the request is to have a copy or to submit from the MEMS's database, the membership database. The auditor would like to know of all the pledges that were outstanding as of September the 30th, the end of the fiscal year, as of February the 29th, how many of those pledges have actually been paid. So those are the reports that we have a request to the database managers or the development directors to get that information in. So there's still a request for information. There's also the request to get major donor income. And what we do here at the national office is try to follow up to make sure the person understands what the request is. They're getting the information into us, the national office, to get to the auditor. As far as ETA, you know, we are still, we have, I don't really have a better time in terms of when office expects to finish. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Has he given? So we don't have a better time to give to you at this point. So the other point is that since we haven't closed the audit yet, you know, we haven't closed for last year. So therefore, you know, we're using the new fiscal 2012 as far as on the general ledger, but we can't produce a balance sheet because that hasn't closed yet. So what we've done is manually do some, but it's not part of the, it's not based on the end of the fiscal year because that hasn't been done. That includes also determining the cash available. So we're just trying to, from this office, including, you know, myself, we are just following up with the database managers, you know, helping them and, you know, talking through with them to get the information in. And that's where we are with the audit.
Okay. That sounds good. Are there any questions or any follow-up questions from the committee?
Or Paul?
Yes, go ahead.
Campbell. Laverne, is there any way we can get sort of a cash flow or, you know, a statement of something like bank balance or something like that to help us get a good handle on exactly where things are, you know, at this moment?
Yes, I can. I have the reports where we ran the reports and we did some manual calculations on there, and I can, and that's one of the reports I have sitting for me to redo and get out. So I will absolutely promise to have the cash. Well, hopefully we will have a preliminary for the close, the cash, and we have the major payables. We have our headcount reports. Those are done. We're just waiting to get the other pieces done. But yes.
Okay. Campbell is next.
Yes. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. First question, is there a preliminary audit report that Mr. Wisdom can provide to us, or an identification of discrepancies that he's trying to reconcile?
This is Laverne. I'm not sure. I mean, he has not communicated discrepancies that he's trying to reconcile. What he has asked for to conclude the audit are the reports that I spoke about earlier. And those are the reports to determine the pledges receivable for the balance sheet, which will actually determine also our bottom line to determine if what we have on our balance sheet is correct, is in line with what our experience has been over the last 4 months.
Right.
So that's where we are in terms of what we are aware in terms of what looking to do and what he's working on at this time. And as far as the preliminary, I believe you received the preliminary when Ross was at the in-person CNB meeting at the end of January, end of February. And at that point, I think the number was a deficit of about 400,000. So hopefully when we get when he finishes the analysis on the pledges receivable, hopefully we'll have good news out of that number, which we know that there has been improvement in some stations with the fulfillment rate. And that helps to determine what our pledges receivable will be.
Great.
May I just ask one follow-up, Madam Chair?
Sure. Go ahead, Devil.
Has he given any feedback with regard to the recovery plan?
Arlene, we're sitting here in the same office tonight, and Arlene says that she has not heard anything from the auditor on the recovery plan. And I haven't heard anything either.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right. Does anyone else have any questions or follow-up comments? Okay. Then we will move the agenda to our sort of budget timeline check-in. I guess the first question to ask is, this is mostly a repeat committee except for Marcus, who I believe I have sent the document to. But does everyone remember the budgetary timeline document that we work from? Is there anyone who wants an updated copy of it? Or?
Yeah, I'd like an updated.
Sure.
Okay, so sure, give me a second, and I will pop that out on the listserv, and that will make it a little bit easier for us to talk about it. Basically, we have one deadline for March 31st. And that deadline basically involves the CFO having a meeting with the treasurers by the end of the month, which strikes me as an achievable goal. And it is basically to outline the budget development process, paperwork submission requirements, and that we should schedule something like this by the end of the month. So since I think all of the treasurers are on the phone tonight, maybe that's something that we could tentatively schedule or start to schedule. So basically this agenda item had two features to it. One was to address what needs to happen in March, and the second was just to remind us about the timeline and see if there were any questions or concerns about it that needed to be raised. So I'm going to go ahead and send the document out. In the meantime, maybe the treasurers could talk a bit about a good time to schedule something towards the end of March. The idea is to get this done by the end of the month.
I'm neutral. I don't care.
This is LaVonne.
So, LaVonne, would you like to sort of start a scheduling process?
Well, I'm thinking about next week, like maybe a week from today, next Tuesday. We can look at KPFTX.
Jim, I can make it.
It's Marcus. That's fine with me.
Our Paul can't make the 20th.
When can our Paul make it?
Thursday?
What's on KPFTX on Thursday?
Let's see. Part of what we're doing is trying to get a quorum for our next finance committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it's going to be either the 21st, the 22nd, or the 26th. And we don't know yet. So I am not sure at this precise moment.
Okay. I mean, there is the option of, you know, meeting, of doing this twice. It's more work for Clavarn, but if there's one treasurer that can't make it on a given date, you could always do a supplementary meeting, I think.
Are you thinking in the evening, LaVonne?
That's a good question, Ken, because we could do, I mean, if anyone's acceptable, we can do it evening or during the day. I mean, just let me know. I can set aside a time during the day as well as in the evening.
You can do it during the day. Because I can't do Tuesday evening.
Okay, so, R. Paul, what about Tuesday during the day?
Let me look at this. what time-ish?
Tuesdays usually there's a meeting that I should attend, like, so probably afternoon, say about 2:30 or so. That's like 5:30 Eastern time.
5:30,
you give me a time, and we'll go from there.
If it lasts for, let's see. If it lasts for like an hour, I could probably do it, but
45 minutes.
45 minutes. Okay, I could probably do that, yeah.
Okay, so the proposal is next Tuesday?
I can't make it. I'm in trial on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And I just zone out, so it's... Okay. I can't say anything.
I can make some days, but that afternoon is not good. And
okay, so
I could make evening.
Okay, I'll send out a propose a couple of times, like maybe three times. We have Tuesday during the day. We have Tuesday at night. Wednesday, is that a bad time?
I can't do Wednesday. I can't do Wednesday.
Okay, I think we're falling. I was kind of hoping this might be smooth. It looks like it's not. We know what the challenge is to get all six of you in one place by the end of the month. Levine, can you take responsibility for doing the scheduling?
That's what I was trying to do then, but I can do it by email.
I'm thinking that we have to move this to email because it's turning out not to be smooth, and so there's going to be some back and forth.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what we'll do now. We'll go directly. So I'll send out a couple of times,
okay,
and people can just respond to that. But I prefer it sooner than later because things always crop up.
I have a question.
Yes, Barbara.
So this meeting is just to go over the process that we're going to be following. It's like the introduction to this whole deal we're going to go on now.
Well, I would also like each person to have a copy of this year's fiscal budget so that perhaps not only go over process, but go over what we expect in terms of the tabs and the sheets and what we need and what you may need.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, that's my expectation for the meeting. So it would kind of answer, you know, where do you need to start? What you need to do to push this off to get the involvement with that would be basically it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is treasurers only. I think any other finance committee member that wanted to sit in on the meeting could certainly do so, but it's intended for the five treasurers and the CFO. The rest of us are off the hook.
Okay. And let me just ask, does each one of you have a copy of this year's fiscal budget?
For our own or the whole deal?
Well, for your own, preferably. I mean,
right.
The most important.
Yes.
Okay.
Marcus, can you just send up, it seems like you revised our budget. So I'm wondering, can you just send it out?
Who's that?
Marcus.
Okay, Marcus. Okay.
Okay, you'll take care of that, Levon. Great.
Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Let me just say one thing, Campbell, then I will call on you. So if we could just get a report back once the scheduling process is completed to the listserv, just telling us the meeting is going to be at such and such a time, just so the rest of us know that it's taken care of. Is that cool? Okay, presumably it is. Campbell, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Question for Levon. Would you please also send me a copy of the revised budget?
I'm sorry?
Mrs. Campbell, I'm asking if you could also send me a copy of the revised budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Okay. So, and Levon, you heard my earlier inquiry. Once the meeting is scheduled, just send something to the finance group listserv so everybody knows when it is and that it's happening.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you must be copied on that because although it's for the treasurers, you know, all the members are welcome to listen in.
Yeah. So. I'm not sure if they will. We all have enough meetings, but we should get it. But we should understand that it's been scheduled and when it will be.
Oh, absolutely. And also, you know, also what I'll do is I'll copy the business managers, because some of the treasurers are working closely with the business managers. So, you know, anyone who wants to listen in or even contribute, but, you know, if we want to part of it, I think keep it among those.
Right. It's not a formal committee meeting, so. Yeah,
so
whatever.
May we have a business manager, you know, on the call?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on the budget timeline? If we can get this accomplished, we'll have item A out of the 11 items on the timeline down and on time. It's a start. Okay. At this point, we are up to the inserted item from Ken, which I don't want to paraphrase too much, but seemed to have to do with the definition of a month's closing, what isn't possible until a month is closed, and I guess a little bit of questions about some of the parameters. I'm guessing the CFO is going to have to answer those questions, but Ken, maybe you can kind of do better than I did at explaining what the item is.
Yeah, sure. I'm just as a layman, if, let's say, the first quarter's closed, and then sometimes, at least at KPFK, we hear, oh, we're making some adjustments to the first quarter. It's very hard to deal with that then. Say, well, the fulfillment isn't what we anticipated or something. So it makes it difficult in evaluating what's going on. And I always understood from accounting, when you close a period, let's say you close the first quarter or you close a month, and you find a mathematical or arithmetic error in the closed period, you make an adjustment in the current period. You don't go back and change the records. It's kind of like you closed it, you write it in ink, close the book, put it on a shelf, it's closed. You can't keep going back and changing the data. This is especially nefarious because we're using Excel, where there's no security lock on it. An Excel document can be changed willy-nilly by anybody, and formulas can be used or overwritten. So if we get a document that says this is the income and the expenses for February 2012, that's it, good. If there's a correction, that should appear in March or April, not going back to February, because it's kind of like then, oh, it wasn't Custer, it was Sherman, but it was really Sherman. Wait a minute, no, it wasn't Sherman, it was Sherman's uncle. And it just keeps going back and forth and makes it very unclear. So I'm asking for what's the definition of a closed financial period, and what is the proper way to correct any inaccuracies discovered in that closed period.
This is Kim. I'd like to add something. One, who's ever underwater, please, you know, take a breath.
Okay.
You're
fair
drowning.
Enough.
And I guess I would like the definition of what are adjustments. That's what I don't know. Oh, we're making adjustments. Well,
okay.
What does that mean?
I have an idea, but okay, so it sounds like the questions are on the table. LaVarne, why don't you go ahead and answer them?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
When one closes the book, that means that, you know, at headquarters or central where the database or the accounting database resides, that means that the other stations, the other users can no longer make any changes or input to that month in terms of making adjustments, in terms of entering any information, that therefore they no longer have access, so therefore that's what we say by closing. You close the book. You no longer have access. We look at the results for that month, and we determine there's a cutoff. We determine what the results are for the foundation. So when you go back and you're making some adjustments that are made in the prior month, now there can be adjustments made, but the adjustments should only be made here at headquarters. And usually adjustments are due to some accounting error, or at this period, since we haven't closed the books for 2011, we are making some adjustments in this year due to the fact that there were directions given to make some entries, and with the two databases open, the entry was made in 2012 versus 2011, and that has been corrected. But as far as from the stations, when we close, which we attempt to close on the fifth workday, but KCFA has not closed on the fifth workday, so therefore, when it's still open, and it's open for other stations to make adjustments past the fifth workday. So when we do say close and say that if the data is in, it might not be complete, as it has not been complete for the last 2 months, but that's the date that information is in there. It should not change from month to month, with those exceptions counting. And those are the only exceptions. So that's basically when you say you close the books and then you start determining what the results are for the next month. Otherwise, never close the books. It's just ongoing.
Okay. Follow-up question.
I didn't hear what that exception was.
Hold on. You guys are talking at the same time. I heard Ken with a point of information. What's your point of information, Ken?
What was, you said, with the one exception of, and I didn't, for some reason, couldn't understand what you said.
I'm sorry. I said with the one exception I'd spoken about earlier, and I was trying to reiterate, with accounting adjustments or entries that are due to some error that is sort of huge, or just due to some adjustment due to some accounting entry, some entry that was due to an accounting error. But if it's and I wanted to say what the difference would be is that suppose that you had $10,000 in whatever in phone bills or something, and then all of a sudden later that in the month you discovered, oh, there was really another bill for $5,000 and I should have had that in there, so I'm going to go back and put that in the prior month. No, that's not done. When you close the books, it's what actually happened in that month. And the thing we've had the discussion with revenue, the foundation does not accrue revenue. The revenue is based on what's in the bank on that last day of the month. But those interests must be made. You must make the interest into Great Plains for those deposits in the bank for that month. So the only exception, again, would be an accounting entry. And like I gave you the example where an entry was supposed to be made for the year 2011, because 2011 has not closed yet. The audit is still ongoing, and it was made in 2012. So we had to reverse that. Not reverse it, actually just do the accounting entry to take that out and get into 2011.
Okay. That sounds good. Are there any follow-up questions? We didn't want to spend too much time on this item, but I'll just ask.
I wanted to just...
Okay, hold on a second. Just say Campbell on the stack, and I mean, who else? Are there other people?
Barbara.
I heard Barbara. I heard Ken. Okay, so we'll take those three questions, and then we'll be out of this item. Campbell, go ahead.
Yes, this occurs usually when the books are closed. You can correct errors, but they are done in the adjustments. You aren't going back into the books and changing them. You can, at that time, also accrue your depreciation and prepaid expenses and whatnot like that. You can make those kinds of adjustments and all. That's what usually occurs. But I was curious about one thing, in that the only revenues that are recognized are revenues in the bank. That sounds like we're on a cash basis rather than an accrual basis. Are we on
a
accrual or cash basis?
For revenue, we're on cash. Let me just talk a little bit about that. You know, we're small enough, although we have $14 million in revenue, we're small enough that the businesses that usually accrue revenue are like businesses that get proposals or signed proposals or signed.
Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I can't hear the barn. Whatever's going on, please mute your phone.
It's like shuffling papers or something.
Yes. Please, everyone, take a second. If you don't know where your cell phone or where your phone mute controls are, you can also use #1. That will work as well. Please take a second to do that. If you're not speaking, everyone who is not LaVarn is not speaking.
Thank you. So if we were a company that had sales and you sold an item and you had a signed document where the company agrees to buy something, and then that's revenue that usually you can recognize in that month, because this is a signed contract and you will have the revenue and you will accrue that revenue. But with us, our revenue basically comes through listener support. The funds come in, it goes into the bank, that's the revenue you show. When you start, there's no way to accurately accrue listener support revenue. Because you cannot. Our revenue stream is fluid enough that, you know, although we have the peaks on the fund drive, but we have revenue coming in every month. So therefore, we do not accrue revenue. We based on the revenue that we have received.
Okay. I am going to go to the next person on the stack, which is Barbara.
Well, I don't have a question. I just wanted to remind people that when you are making adjustments, say, in the following month, you can isolate this, whatever it is you're entering, an expense or revenue, by putting it in a different account code, for instance, other or a miscellaneous expense, which then, of course, when you give the report, you have to explain what that item is, but it's keeping it somehow separate from that month's expense or revenue so that you're not distorting those current things.
That sounds reasonable. All right, we are on to Ken.
Okay. So then there's no limit, but what you're saying is in August of 2012, you might make an adjustment for March of 2011, but the adjustment is in August of 2012 because
mm-hmm.
you discovered there was some money stuck in the soda machine or whatever. I understand that. And there's no limit to you can continue to make those adjustments into infinity. However, your statement that we're not accruing cash confuses me because you said earlier that the auditor was evaluating the fulfillment on the pledges. And we're not accruing income on the basis of pledged. We're only evaluating revenue on the basis of what got into the bank. The money's here or the credit card's been fulfilled. How could it be of a concern what the fulfillment rate is when you close the books for January of 2012? Let's say there was at some station $1 million income. That's closed. It's subject to correction for accounting errors, but it's what went into the bank. It's not what was pledged. So why is the auditor concerned with fulfillment rates except to evaluate how well we're doing?
Okay.
It's not going to make an adjustment.
Okay, LaVarn, do you want to answer that?
Wait,
okay, listen, people, one at a time. Kim, can you wait? You'll be on the stack next.
No, because I think Kim was asking about fulfillment rate, but Ross is already asking about pledges to look at. So it's the combination of fulfillment rate and pledges. Why is he looking at pledges?
Well, the reason that...
Let me try to answer.
I think LaVarn can address that, yeah.
Okay, when we said accrue, you're not accruing cash. You would not accrue pledges, expected pledges, so it's not cash. So So then you go from your P&L to your balance sheet. On your balance sheet, you have an asset. You have pledges receivable. So So when you look at the balance sheet, the balance sheet determines what is the value of these pledges that you have that are created when you have these fund drives. So what is the value of that? So they actually do have a value, and that value is associated with that year. That, you know, although you said, oh, you don't accrue this, but there is a value attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to determine that value, you have to determine if those pledges are really being fulfilled that you had on your books at the end of that fiscal year. And that will determine your pledges,
right?
Your pledges receivable.
Right. It's the value of your outstanding pledges with your fulfillment rate applied.
And don't want to go back into history, but we had over the last 4 to 5 years, we had very bad position where the pledges receivable were overvalued, which
mm-hmm.
results in like a distortion of what your real income was for that year, for those years. And we've kind of come through that. And that wasn't very, you know, it was kind of painful and embarrassing.
Right,
so,
and we don't want to do that.
Yeah, so these pledges receivable that are on the balance sheet, they do have a value, but on a monthly basis, we do not go in and determine the value of those pledges receivable on a monthly basis. That is a very but it would require a lot of time to do that on a monthly or even a quarterly basis.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Are there any follow-up questions, or can we move the agenda? Woohoo! I think we can move the agenda. Okay, we are then going to go into our divisional reports. We originally had 3 scheduled. The one for WBAI New York has been moved 2 weeks into the future, and we are going to try to get through national office. I just want to do a quick time check because we're already at 6:30, so to try to do both WPFW and the national office archives probably means we will be on this call until at least 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern Standard. Is everybody up for that? If not, we can slide the National Office Archives report into the following week. I'm open to that.
I would like to try to leave, early, you know, what is our time, 7 or 7?
Earlier, yes.
Yeah, earlier.
You said next week. Do you mean next meeting, Tracy?
I mean next meeting 2 weeks into the future, which will be... Let's see. We're March 13th to be March 27th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, the other option is if the group doesn't want to wait 2 weeks, Lavarne, is we could have you go first and have Marcus go second, which is also possible, just to accommodate your schedule.
I personally am up for doing it all tonight, 7:30 because
mm-hmm.
I'm late.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in strongly? Marcus, if we had you go second after Clavarn, would that be okay with you?
Of course.
Okay. Well, I don't hear anyone dissenting too loudly, so I guess that is what we'll do. So, Lavarn, if you could give us a brief archives divisional summary followed by a national office summary, that would be great.
Okay, let's do that. First, I want to know if everyone has a copy of the information that was sent out in February that shows the... I'll start with the Pacifica Radio Archive. Does everyone have that information that was sent out?
Which file name?
It was the one I forwarded. Let me find it here.
I believe when we're doing these reports, it's that 11/15/20. No, that's not it. It's the
January income statement number 2.
Right, the January income statement documents that we're trying to base this on.
Okay, very good. I have the computer up. I don't have the...
January consolidated income statement with revised WPFW budget. I have it on 3-1, received 3-1, 2012.
Okay.
Says January income statement.
Oh, so I've got. Okay.
I got it at 8:46 a.m. That would have been Pacific time.
Okay, so let's just get started with Pacifica Radio Archives. What we have, Pacifica Radio Archives, in fact, when I did my little blurb on what had on our results for the month of February, we show that the revenue for the period for Pacifica Radio Archives, the revenue totaled from October through January, there was revenue of $153,763. That the direct expenses were $206,805. The radio archives received shared our central services from the station that totaled $85,000. So their total expenses were $121,004, net income of $32,289. And if we look at the detail and compare that to budget, the performance does not compare well to budget. And the reason why is if you go back up to the revenue, you'll see that the budget for the revenue for listener support, the actual revenue was $133,000, a little over $133,000. The budget was almost $270,000. A variance of $136,000. And the reason for that, like I had summarized, is that Pacifica Radio Archives, they do a national fundraising. And basically it's based on their campus campaign where they have a package of information and it allows you to get a copy of all of these archives, all the archives data. And you also can send a copy of that to your school or any program that you think that needs it. So normally the archives, what we had planned in the budget was for a three-day drive. And in our conversations, our weekly meetings with the general managers and with Brian DeShazer, who's the director, we really thought that a three-day drive dedicated strictly to archives in November, perhaps that was not the best thing to do, and that perhaps we should just do a two-day drive. And then to offset that third day, the stations would, in their winter fund drives, they would, based on their credit card collections, they would divide that by the number of days of the fund drive, and that would be the fund that they would substitute for that third day of fundraising for the archives. So all the general managers agreed to that, with the exception of KPFT. And KPFT actually did a third day of fundraising for the archives. So what we've done is with the Winter Fund Drive, we are in the process of collecting that information on the credit card. That were a credit card payment, and that we will average that over the number of days of each drive, and that will go to Pacifica Radio Archives. And that's why, so therefore, if we look at the variance in the budget, it's a negative variance of $135,000, and perhaps we're looking at, if I look at the numbers, perhaps we'll pick up anywhere from like $60,000 to $80,000 from the Winter Fund Drive. So there still will be a shortfall for Pacifica Radio Archives on listener support, but the archives are in the process of, they're constantly looking at other funding. They get funding from the NEA. They're also pursuing funding from other foundations, pursuing other grants to try to make that up, so that will make up for their shortfall in revenue. And on their direct expenses, they are actually better than budget by almost $17,000. And so, therefore, if they continue to underspend on the expenses and really try to tackle getting additional funds, either foundation or grants, then we are hoping to project that this negative variance for these first 4 months will be somewhat, it will not be that way at the end of the year. So that's what we're looking at. And also on the call for Pacifica Radio Archives, I will probably have the business manager for sure on that call along with the treasurers for the station so that she will know the budget timeline.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Questions, comments? Okay. If there aren't any, we can move on, I think, to the National Office Division.
Okay.
Right. Sounds like we can. So thank you for that, LaVon.
You're quite welcome. For the National Office, as I stated, that we still haven't closed the books for 2011. So if you look at the National Office, the report that was sent out, there's a number in the listener support that we have reversed. And the reason that number is in there, you know, I can't get into too much detail on that. We can talk about it in closed session. But that was a number that was supposed to hit September 2011, and we inadvertently put it in December of 2012. So for the report for February, that number will be out. We've done a reversal on that. So that's kind of distorts right now what the numbers should be. And also on that donation line, I believe there will be an adjustment on that line too. Also, again, we are, as I don't want to emphasize it too much, but we are doing, like, we are working on 2011, making adjustments based on the auditor's direction. And we're also trying to keep up with our results and postings for 2012. So on this report, we don't have all the postings in there. We have this month we have made some of the postings. I have preliminary numbers for this month or for the first through February, but that, so I can tell you these numbers are in there. So these numbers are really, really preliminary. They don't really accurately reflect the National Office results. So and so basically, if we want to look at some of the detail, if you see something in there that looks interesting, you want to maybe discuss or talk about, that would be great. But again, it shows a net income of about $95,000. The budget is $134,000, but that is just not our current results. If I look through February, we're actually for the National Office, we're actually much better than budget in both revenue and in net income, because we are making the adjustment for that number, that negative number, that credit that's in the revenue. So that's why I thought we could discuss National Office, because again, I must say that we really do need to, there are some areas in here that we really need to pay attention to, and that we are trying to do the analysis and keep a running track on that. And you can see that if you look at the expenses there, you can see that our legal expenses are higher than, let me find it here.
And we hoped.
Thank you. And that's something that we are working on, and that we realize that that's going to be a challenge for us for this year.
and that as we've had to take care of these legal issues, that has been it's been a challenge for us, and we have to find ways to save funds, cut down expenses in other areas because of those expenses.
Okay. This is Tracy. I have a couple questions.
Oh, sure.
Does anybody else, or should I just go ahead?
Go for it.
Okay. I think what I'll do, LaVarne, is I'll just give you a short list of the questions that I have, and then you can just do them in whatever order is comfortable, because it's a couple of items from the detail. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is that the numbers are preliminary, that's fine. You know, I'm just asking. The first was the income from affiliates, which looks to be about half of what was budgeted, and I'm wondering if that's people paying slowly, or if that is discounts that we've given to folks, or if that's losing affiliates, or if we have any bead on what that discrepancy is about.
Let me just answer that. The numbers had not been posted, so we
posted
the numbers for January and for February. And actually, January numbers was a little, were higher actually than because it's usually pretty smooth in terms of revenue from affiliates until we get down to a certain point in the year. So we So those were just not posted.
Okay, that explains that one. Okay, next question. Going down to the detail under national board expenses, I'm just asking if the figure in board meeting and travel for the January board meeting, or you know, the total figure there is actually final, because I'm just curious whether we were actually able to keep our board meeting approximately where we wanted it to be in terms of the budget, because I think that's important for the board to know. So I had a question about whether that $20,748 figure, of which it looks like about 20 is actually for the December January board meeting, is final, or if there's still things coming in for that, or if you have any take on that.
Yes, there are still some expenses for that meeting, but it's very small.
All right.
Hit in February, less than $3,000. So looks like we're still doing pretty well on the board meeting and travel. That we do have a line in there for board legal consultation, but we can't applaud ourselves on that because in our legal analysis we have invoices in, and what that will require is that we go down and do the analysis and separate the invoices by station and by board. So this $8,000 of a favorable variance is not there.
Okay, I'm just asking about the meeting and the travel.
On national board expenses, that means that we'll probably we're about, you know, $7,000 really, truly better than budget. So we're doing really well for the first 4 months.
Yay. Okay, thanks. And my final question is about the insurance, which was, I guess, what, 6531 under administrative. It's just a question because we seem to be paying more than we budgeted. So I'm just wondering whether that was controllable, whether that will settle out by the end of the year. Did we have a worse increase than we expected, or is that just going to balance out at the end of the year, or are we really going to spend 20% more than we thought on insurance?
It did go up some, the insurance expenses, but we just have to make sure that that at the end it should be correct. We also had some earthquake insurance that was a little higher. That's hitting in February. February, but that is a little higher. We also added, there's a part of insurance of fiduciary responsibility for board members. And we added that. I'm sure y'all should applaud that.
Sure.
And so that's some of the increase, but that's something I'll have to look at very carefully to see why the amount is...
Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be right now, but it might be good to know if that $185,000 figure that we budgeted is going to end up about right, or if it's going to end up about 20% off or something in between.
Yeah.
Be good to know.
And Arlene, Zach.
Okay. Anybody else for the stack? Arlene, Ken. Is that it? Okay. Arlene. Okay. Arlene followed by Ken.